Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Ann Liguori and Talking Golf on The Fan.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 26th. How we doing? Talking Golf is brought to you by Travelers Insurance for auto, home, and business. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Well, I'm very excited because this morning we are going to talk with two of the greatest players in the history of golf, and they are two of the game's greatest ambassadors, Gary Player and Annika Sorenstam. They both will be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, joining Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Charlie Sifford, and Tiger Woods as the only golfers to have been recognized with the nation's highest civilian honor, which is unbelievable. So I did some digging to find out who else in our world of sports have been honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and 25 names in sports came up since the award started back in 1963, which was established by President Kennedy. So I'm going to name them because I'm a sports history junkie, and maybe you'll appreciate some of these people who were named. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, Vin Scully, Yogi Berra, Willie Mays, Ernie Banks, Dean Smith, Pat Summitt, Stan Musial, Bill Russell, Billie Jean King, Joe DiMaggio, Bear Bryant, Ted Williams, Arthur Ashe, Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, John Wooden, Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, Roger Staubach, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, Roger Penske, and Mariano Rivera. I just had to find out which other sports stars have gotten this incredible honor. So obviously quite a collection of stars in sports. And now Gary Player and Annika Sorenstam. The award was supposed to have been presented in March, but it has yet to be rescheduled. Well, anyway, Gary Player will join us in a few minutes. He was really the first international golfer to gain stardom. He won 163 tournaments overall. He won 9 major titles on the regular tour. His first major title was the 1959 British Open. He was the first non-American to win the Masters when he did it in 1961. He won the PGA Championship in 62, and when he won the U.S. Open in 65, he became, at the time, only the third winner of the career Grand Slam. His last major title was in 78 at the Masters, his third Masters title, and he rallied back from a 7-shot deficit, shot a 64, and won by one stroke, and he was 42 years old at the time. He went on to win 9 senior majors, if you count the 3 senior open championships that he won, which weren't designated majors until 2003. And he was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1974. And throughout the 60s, Gary Player was part of golf's big 3, including Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. And the 3 were friendly rivals, both on and off the course. They all served as honorary starters at the Masters. Gary and Jack still do. Arnie passed away a couple years ago, and Gary and Jack still play in the par 3 competition on the Wednesday of Masters week. Years ago, I had the great Billy Casper on my radio show. He had written a book called The Big 3 and Me. And he always thought that it should have been the Big Four, because he reasoned that he had a higher winning percentage than Arnold Palmer. He won twice as many times on the PGA Tour than Gary Player. Casper won 51 PGA Tour titles. Gary Player won 24 PGA Tour titles. And Casper finished in the top 25 more consistently than Jack Nicklaus. And he wrote all about this in his book, which was fascinating. And he claimed that since he was not represented by the great sports agent Mark McCormick, largely credited as the founder of sports marketing, that he, Billy Casper, was left out of the discussion. He thought he was overshadowed. Well, it's an interesting argument. And that interview, I'll have to find that interview in my archives, because it was, I thought, a fascinating interview. But from an overall global impact and winning standpoint, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus will forever remain the big three, having won 34 major titles among them, and Gary with 163 professional wins overall. He won tournaments all over the world, in South Africa, Europe, Australia. He's flown over 15 million miles around the globe. And between playing, designing over 300 golf courses, his Gary Player Foundation, his charity work, apparel, wine, racehorses, not to mention his passion for fitness and good nutrition, the Black Knight is a legend on and off the course. So can't wait to talk to him. And in the second half of the show, Annika Sörenstam will join us. Now, many consider Annika the greatest player ever in the women's game, with 90 overall wins, 72 LPGA titles, 10 major titles, and she's the only female golfer to shoot a 59 in competition. And the achievement that put an exclamation point on her career, she was invited to play in the PGA Tour's Bank of America Colonial Golf Tournament in Fort Worth, Texas in May of 2003, becoming the first woman to play in a PGA Tour event since Babe Zaharias in 1945. I remember it so well. Not 1945, but when Annika played in that PGA Tour event in 2003. She did not make the cut, but she did hold her on her own. In the first round, she led the field in driving accuracy, and she was in the top 20 in greens and regulation. And when you think of golf professionals, male or female, who have gone on to great heights in the business world, after retiring from the game, you think of Jack Nicklaus, you think of Arnold Palmer, you think of Greg Norman, you think of Gary Player, and you think of Annika Sörenstam. And later in the show, we'll talk to her about the many layers of her brand, Annika. All right, I want to congratulate the folks at Springbrook Country Club in Morristown, New Jersey. They've been donating truckloads of supplies to a local hospital. And from those efforts, they launched the Clubs Help Foundation. Clubs Help connects golf and member clubs with local hospitals to provide critical resources and support for frontline hospital workers. Fox News did a piece on them. They interviewed David Bachman, the general manager of Springbrook Country Club. Ernie Owls got involved. My buddy Rob Goulet, Ernie's manager, got involved. Morning Reed, a National Golf Wire service, they did a piece on them. Basically, clubs all over the country have been contributing by adopting a local hospital and then gathering items and delivering them. So great effort, David, and Springbrook Country Club in Morristown, New Jersey. Just incredible what you all have initiated. And you can go to the website clubshelp.org to find out how you can contribute. Really excellent job. All right, well, Turner Sports will be televising the match, Champions for Charity, sometime in May, that will star Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning playing an exhibition match against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. And fundraising will benefit COVID-19 relief. Tiger and Phil played the match in 2018, as you remember. That was over Thanksgiving. And compelling television, it was not. Phil ended up winning on the fourth playoff hole, but The golf was not that riveting, and the banter between the two players, which many fans looked forward to, really did not happen. Adding Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, I think, is a great idea. That's going to make it special. If we can hear these guys banter and hear their conversations and hopefully see some great golf shots. So looking forward to seeing that sometime in May. And in other news, the World Golf Hall of Fame honorees for 2021 are complete. And four honorees have had absolutely fascinating careers. You know the honorees. Tiger Woods, former PGA Commissioner Tim Fincham, and two trailblazing women, golf course architect Marion Hollins and Susie Maxwell Berning, who played on the LPGA Tour in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, and Berning won three U.S. Women's Opens in a six-year span. But I want to talk a little bit about Marion Hollins for a second. She was elected into the World Golf Hall of Fame through the Contributors category, and you know, the more I read about her, the more fascinated I've become about her career. As a golfer, she won the 1921 Women's Amateur and was the U.S. captain of the first Curtis Cup back in 1932. She financed and developed a golf course for women in New York in the 20s and was a visionary in golf course architecture. In fact, several historians credit her as the brains behind Cypress Point Golf Club on the Monterey Peninsula on the California coastline. I had the great privilege of playing Cypress Point a while back. I was connected to a member of the club who hosted me, and it is really one of the truly stunning courses in the world. Many holes are right along the Pacific Ocean, the rocky coastline, and then the front nine meanders through the Del Monte Forest, and it's just spectacular. And Alistair McKenzie designed Cypress Point, but he writes about Marion Hollins discovering the site. It was 150 acres, and she approached Samuel Morse, who developed Pebble Beach, and she encouraged him to build this private club. And one of the most gorgeous golf holes in all of golf is the par 316th at Cypress Point. And the story goes that Seth Rayner, another legendary golf course architect, thought that the carry over the ocean on that infamous par 316th hole was too long. And Alistair McKenzie wrote in his book, The Spirit of St. Andrews, that Miss Hollins said she did not think it was an impossible carry. She then teed up a ball and drove to the middle of the site. And that is where the green was built. I love that story. It's about 219 yards from the back tees. So, of course, she hit a great tee shot and carried the ocean. Anyway, and she also contributed her design ideas when McKenzie was designing Augusta National. He invited her to walk Augusta National, and she contributed a lot of ideas, he claimed. Sadly, Marion Hollins died young at the age of 51 in 1941. But I don't know. I love sports history, and golf has such a rich history. All right, we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk to another person with such a rich history on and off the course, the one, the only, Gary Player. We'll be right back.
It's Sunday morning, and you're talking golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talking Golf. I'm Ann Liguori, and Gary Player, winner of 9 major titles on the regular tour, 9 major titles on the senior tour. He is the only non-American to win all 4 majors in a career, the career Grand Slam. He's only one of 5 players in the history of golf to have won that career Grand Slam, joining Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, Ben Hogan, Gene Sarazen as the only players to have won all 4 majors. He's won 163 tournaments. On 6 continents, a Hall of Famer. I could go on and on and on, Gary. Welcome to Talking Golf. It's such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Ann. I wish we were teeing off on the first tee this morning.
I know. So what have you been doing?
Well, Ann, I'm very lucky indeed. My daughter here, we came from South Africa to see our grandson who'd just done a 2-year mission for his church in Spain. And he arrived. Luckily, the next day they were stopping the airlines from coming in. And then we were locked down here which actually has been a wonderful time for us to be able to spend time. You know, I have 6 children. We have 22 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren, and they're all over the world. We got 15 American grandchildren and 3 children that are USA citizens. So we're all over the world, and so we don't ever spend a lot of time with them. And now we've had 6 weeks with them, wonderful conversations at night on all different conversations from religion to politics and education, et cetera, et cetera. And she has a forest right next to her house. So we go in magnificent walks with this great oxygen. And, you know, not enough emphasis is put on deep breathing and non-polluted areas for our health. And she has a gymnasium. And our next-door neighbor has a simulator where I can hit some balls, because I've never had 6 weeks in my entire golfing career, which is 70 years. I've never had 6 weeks when I never played golf.
I was just going to ask you, and you're keeping up your weight lifting regimen and your good diet?
I am, very much so, very much so, and I'm reading some fascinating books, and I want to write a book on longevity and health, because it's one of my favorite things. I started weight training on the tour with a man called Frank Stranahan in 1953, which is a long time ago, and I've kept it up, and you know, I took a lot of flack about weight training, and it was bad for golf, but it certainly stood me in good stead. Look what it's done for Tiger. Look what it's done for Rory. Look what it's done for Dustin Johnson and Koepka. So we're going into an era now when people will be so strong, they'll be hitting the ball 400 yards consistently in the future, and that's why they're going to have to, for professional golf only, cut the ball back. We can't make the golf courses any longer. Financially, it costs too much. Fertilizer, water, which the world is running out of. Now, it's hard to tell people in this part of the world that the world is running out of water. But look at California and America and other places in America. Never mind India and China and Africa, where they're having massive problems with water. So but I would like to just say, first of all, my heart goes out to all these people that are suffering from this corona disease. I mean, it really is so, so sad for people to see their parents and their grandparents or any member of their family getting sick and dying. And this is all over the world. But let me just say one word of encouragement, because one has got to think positive. It will go away. We shall overcome this. In 1968 and 70, if I remember correctly, and I'm 84, but there was a disease called the Hong Kong flu, and 1 million people died of it. 1 million. We've overcome it, and we will do it here. And I think the American government have done a fantastic job with this this corona. Imagine this. You know, they weren't prepared for it. People in the past had not really set up a preparation for it, which is quite sad. And, I mean, you know, all of a sudden this comes upon you. It's not a very easy thing to handle, and I think they've done a fantastic job. And the people of America, this is why this is the greatest country in the world. People pull together in spite of their differences right now, which is a shame, the way they're fighting and telling lies and being nasty to each other. The thing is that America is resilient, and they're going to handle it well, and they're going to overcome it.
Yes, we can. And Gary, you've been around for 8 decades. You're 84. What lessons do you think we can learn during this time?
You know, the word I use all the time is love. You know, I've lived in some very difficult times. I lived in apartheid in South Africa. I lived in the apartheid in America. And, you know, it's just, I've seen some terrible things. Having traveled more miles than any human being ever, the things that I've seen in India, you see the things that are happening in Iran. They just shoot 1,400 people at a demonstration. They put people in jail. With are so cruel. You see what in North Korea, what they do to people. You see the things that are happening in the world today. It just makes you realize how lucky you are. And you know, when I hear, you know, and I've traveled around the world and seen what socialism has done to the world. And honestly, when I hear young people and I hear people in government talking about that their new theme will be socialism, I just want to lie down and cry because I've seen this. And the young people of America are very naive on world affairs. And when I hear them talking about socialism, they have no idea what they're talking about. And you think of this great word, freedom, that America has. Freedom is dying flat out in the world. There's only about, I'm going to take a guess, if the world has 50% of freedom left, it's a miracle. And look at the soldiers that went to Normandy. The Americans fought. And my brother went to war from South Africa at 17 to fight with the Americans. And my brother-in-law was killed. So, you know, we must really value this freedom and civil rights. It's terribly important and to love each other. Yes, we can have a difference. My daughter and I differ on politics, but I adore her. We don't have to tell lies and fight each other and say terrible things. I mean, some people don't want to even talk to you anymore because you have a political view. It's crazy.
I know. I agree with you. And speaking of freedom, Gary Player, you are going to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom with Annika Sorenstam, who's going to join us at about 7:40 this morning. So congratulations on that. I know it was supposed to be last month you were going to get this, but obviously with COVID-19, it has been postponed. But that's a tremendous honor.
That's the greatest honor ever bestowed upon me in my life. And having won, you know, all the world tournaments and championships, I had a lot of great honors bestowed upon me in my career. But this is the ultimate, to be recognized by the greatest country in the world is such an honor for me, and I just love America, and it's just something that, and my journey, you know, when I die, I don't want to be known as a great golfer. I want to be known as a man who contributed to society and his fellow man, and I've had a journey that has been so interesting, changing the lives of tens of thousands of people, building an AIDS center in China, building schools in South Africa, helping, well, just to give you an example, in America, in the early 50s, Charlie Sifford, the African-American golfer, wasn't allowed to play on the tour. And I went to bat for him, and I went to his hometown in Cleveland, and we became great friends. And when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, would you believe it? He asked a white South African to induct him into the Hall of Fame. What an honor that was for me. And then Lee Elder came down to South Africa, the African-American golfer. Had great difficulty put upon him here, great pressure not to go. And I had pressure in South Africa for him not to come. And I went to my prime minister at that time, who was a believer in apartheid. And I said to him, I want to put a spoke in the wheel of apartheid. I want to bring a black golfer from America to come and play in South Africa. I thought he's going to kick me out of his office. Isn't it sad to think in those days you had to get permission? And anyway, he agreed, and Lee Elder came down, and he played in our PGA, and we did other venues, and it was a great success. And Lee Elder and I have been great friends ever since. So it's nice to know that you're changing the lives of people. And my great dream is for this country, for the youth. And Winston Churchill, my all-time hero, said, the youth of a nation are the trustees of posterity. We've got to get the young people to be well-educated. You've got many places in the world that want to destroy America. And this is what should be instilled in these young people's minds. Keep fit, well-educated. Stop smoking and drinking and taking any weed whatsoever. You have a debt to society. You owe it to America. And this is my great, and to get them fit, young people live on phones now. Yes, you can have your phone, but there's a time you don't overdo it. You've got to channel your energies in the right direction. Get fit. Learn to eat properly. Keep your weight down. Gee whiz, you don't want to ever lose America. You've got to keep it number one. And I can say when you're number one, I've been number one in the world. It's a hard job to stay there. You look out throughout history, people have collapsed. The Roman Empire, the British Empire, nothing lasts forever unless you really work at it. And this is what these professors at universities should be talking to these children about. And they should bring exercise back in the schools. They've taken exercise out of the schools. Can you imagine that?
Terrible.
Taking exercise out? In South Africa, we have the best high schools in the world. You had to go to gym every day. all sporting facilities right at the schools, swimming pools, track, football fields. You've got to get young people to exercise. Exercise for longevity and for productivity. Exercise is absolutely imperative and to get away from this obesity. Obesity is killing more people than the wars of the world. So there's a great desire for me to try and just play my part in a small way.
Everything you're saying is just incredible. I agree with everything that you've just said there, Gary. And were you born with this kind of work ethic and dedication for excellence, or did it develop through the years? I know you've said the harder you practice, the luckier you get. But where does this work ethic and this dedication and this commitment come from?
You know, Anne, when I was a young boy of nine, my mother died, and I just adored my mother. She died of cancer, and my brother went to war at 17, as I told you. At the same time, basically, just before my mother died, my brother went to war. My father worked in a gold mine, 8,000 feet down in the ground. It's a terrible life at that time. There was no air conditioning down there, and the facilities they have today. So anytime anybody wears any gold, they should really appreciate it. And my sister was at boarding school. I traveled an hour and a half to school, an hour and a half back, got home. The house was dark and empty. I had to make my own food, make my own bed. I lay in bed at night crying, wishing I was dead, which was the greatest gift that I ever had. Adversity is a gift. It's not a dreaded thing. It's a gift, because everybody in life has adversity of some time or other. It doesn't matter who you are. And it's not 90% what happens to you. It's 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it. And to never think you're the only one who's having it, because everybody's getting it. And so I really had, maybe their children in Syria where their houses have been built, bombed, and places in the world, in India where they don't have much, or Africa, or China, or any country that you can think of where people are really struggling. And so mine maybe is not as bad as that, but it was very, very bad. And that helped me to have this philosophy. And having traveled, and I like to read, I like to learn, I like to ask people. I've been around every president of America for the last 60-something years. I've met the emirs in the Middle East, the prime ministers of the world, royal family, but also in the villages of Africa and India, where the people are so poor, and I learned as much from them as I learned from the higher echelon. So it's been an incredible journey that I've had.
And, you know, your autobiography came out in 91, and I love this quote. You said, "I am an animal when it comes to achievement and wanting success. There is never enough success for me."
Well, absolutely. You know, in English we have a great saying, if you want something badly enough, you'll get it. And the thing is that I'm trying to instill this into my little granddaughter here. Now, she is a fantastic gymnastic person. She's always doing cartwheels and flip-flacks, backward somersaults, and she's so good. And I said to her, you know, you can be an Olympic Games representative for your great country, America, here. Oh, she says, "I'm not good enough." And I'm trying to get that positive attitude into her. It's terribly important. But how do you know, when you see her, she has a beautiful school, she has wonderful parents, she has three meals a day, she has a bus waiting to take her to school, she has clothes, she has TV, she has a wonderful bedroom. How do you compete? It's very hard to compete against somebody in China or Russia or Africa when they don't have anything, some of these kids. Some of these kids have nothing. I went to do a golf clinic the other day for some youngsters in Philly here. And the coach said to me, "Gary, please lay it on them. Tell them the truth, because if I do it, the parents say I'm being a bully, or the dean complains about it." So I went there and I said to the kids, "Who wants to be?" I said, "Good morning, guys. I'm here because I love you and I want to help you." And I said, "Who wants to be a pro?" And they all put up their hands and said, "Oh, I want to be a pro." I said, "You little fat pigs, you got no chance." And they all got such a shock when I said that, their eyes opened like a saucer. They said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, while you are having breakfast and your mother's brought it to the table for you, for a little darling, and you've got a bus waiting for you, and some of you have a car waiting for you, and you have TV and food and a roof over your head. I said, some people in the world don't have one of those things, not even one. And so while you're having your breakfast, they've already practiced for an hour, and they're being to the gym, and they have a determination and a hunger and a passion. And I'll tell you a statement that has never been used on any TV station ever in the history of America. It's called fixity of purpose. Fixity of purpose. That's Winston Churchill saying. That means you have to have a passion, a desire to achieve something. What made America this great country? It was a passion. It was family. It was hard work. And it was faith. Is this continuing to the degree it should do? In my opinion, it's only my opinion now. People will criticize you for saying things, but I can accept criticism. Can you imagine? Imagine being the president of America who tries his best. All the presidents try their best. And the day you become president, the next day, 49% of people don't like you. And the criticism they take, they dedicate their lives, and all they do every single day is get criticized to the hilt. Man, I wouldn't like to have that job. I don't know about you.
I know. It's a no-win situation. Real quick, because we have like a minute left. Only five golfers have won all four golf majors at any time during their careers. And as I said earlier, you're one of those five. Who's going to be next? I know Phil Mickelson is missing a U.S. Open. Rory is missing a Masters. Jordan Spieth needs a PGA Championship. Who do you think is going to be the next player to win a career Grand Slam?
I think Rory McIlroy, because if you look at it, he has the best golf swing. He has the best basics in the swing. But that doesn't mean to say he's going to do it. It's not the swing that wins. It's the mind and the great putting. But if Jordan Spieth could get his swing right, he's got quite a few faults in his swing, he would do it, because he's got the best short game in the world. He's a very charismatic guy, a wonderful young man. And I'd love to see him do it. I'd love to see Rory do it. I think one of them are going to do it. But Rory at this stage, to me, has the best chance. And Augusta absolutely suits his game.
I can't wait to see you. I'll see you at the Masters in November, right?
Yes. Will you say hello to me, please?
Definitely. You'll be on the first tee, hitting that honorary tee shot, wanting to outdrive Jack Nicklaus, right?
Not wanting to, doing it. Jack, every year Jack says, you know, it really irritates me, you're out-hitting me. I said, Jack, you out-hit me for 40 years. I'm going to the gym like crazy and you're not. What do you expect?
I love it. There are
He's my best friend and the greatest gentleman I ever played golf with.
Gary, you are a true gentleman and a great ambassador. I have a million other questions I want to ask you. We'll have to have you on again, okay?
Okay, thank you, and God bless America.
Thanks so much, the great Gary Player. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with the great Annika Sorenstam. We'll be right back.
Anne Liguori is talking golf on Sunday morning with you, right here on The Fan.
Back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Annika Sorenstam. Annika, winner of 10 major titles, 72 LPGA Tour wins, during a 16-year playing career, averaging 5 LPGA Tour wins a year, which is just phenomenal, and really considered one of the greatest golfers in history. I'm so honored you're with us this morning, Annika. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
How are you? How are you and your family handling this crazy time?
Yeah, it is. It really is a crazy time. Probably like many people, we're hunkering down. I think this is 6th week, I think. Actually, you're losing time and you forget what day it is.
Exactly.
We're in Orlando. We're adjusting to virtual learning. You know, the kids have now got information that they will not be returning to school this academy year. So we're trying to do as much as we can to make sure that they will be ready for, you know, next grade. You know, no graduation, no nothing. So it's been interesting. We try to be very active. We try to cook together. We try to work out and be healthy. And in Orlando, luckily, the course where we live is open, so we've been out a few times and, yeah, trying to just spend a lot of time together, quality time. We're doing things we haven't done before. We're playing a lot of cards and just, you know, doing manicures, pedicures, face masks, and watching movies.
Keeping busy, keeping busy. And now becoming, what, a full-time teacher as well, right?
Yeah, no, it's not an easy thing. I have even more respect for teachers and just really the social aspect that school provides the kids. And, you know, I must say I think our kids are doing a good job, but it's, you know, it's hard to keep up with a fifth grader and a third grader to keep all the different classes and courses and tests, everything in order. And we were trying to create routines. We're trying to create a, you know, not necessarily a school environment, but an environment where they feel like this is where we do our work. And then we have some playtime, but I would say they're more recess than normal.
Well, that you're talking about Ava and William, your two children, and boy, juggling everything, being a working mom, brand Annika. We'll get into that in a second. But, you know, I just spoke to the great Gary Player, and you and Gary Player are going to be honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That is incredible. How did you find out that you were selected for this?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And yeah, it's been, I mean, what a surprise, what a humbling experience. And you know, of course, it's been postponed. But the way it turned out, we were playing golf and up in Washington in September. I was there for Annika Foundation fundraiser, and we were invited to play golf with the president and also a tour of the White House. And, you know, that's I've never been in the White House, so that was an amazing experience and a learning the history and so forth. So, and then after the round of golf, we were having lunch and we were talking about, you know, legends and of the game, and, you know, Mr. Nicklaus' name came up, and then Tiger's name came up, and Arnold Palmer, and, you know, those, all three of them are, have, you know, have been previous recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So, and then the president just said it, and to both of us, you guys should receive it together. And it was just, it was a surreal moment. I looked at Mike, my husband, who was right there having lunch with me, and I looked at Mr. Player, and it was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. I remember leaving for the airport and just say, wow, this is unreal of all the things I've achieved, and to be recognized in this, you know, in this way, and for my achievements on and off the golf course. It's just, you know, you think of my story of coming here, you know, as a freshman at University of Arizona, and then turning professional and then starting my family and my business over here. So it's been, it's certainly a Cinderella story. So thank you. It's just very humbling, and thinking of all the people that have received it before, what a prestigious group and what they have accomplished.
I want to switch to the LPGA. You know, it's going strong under Mike Wann's leadership, Annika, more tournaments globally, more prize money, and then COVID-19 hits and is wreaking havoc on everything. And it looks like the first LPGA tour event back is June 19 to 21, the one in Arkansas, right?
That's what I think is on the schedule, yes.
Does that seem too soon for you? And do you know if there'll be spectators there? Or I haven't heard anything about that yet.
Yeah, no, I don't really know anything either. I think times are just so uncertain. And, you know, obviously things will not be the same, whether it's no fans or I'm not really sure. I mean, you have, you know, this is the LPGA is an international tour, and you have players from all around the world. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some interesting logistics to deal with just from a travel standpoint. And, you know, they're talking about all these kind of testing. So, you know, I'm not involved, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they do it. We all know that they're trying to reopen the country and on different levels, and maybe by June it's time to, you know, start moving forward and start living, you know, side by side with COVID-19. But I'm not really sure. So I just hope everybody is safe and we do it for the right reasons.
That's true. I agree with you. Let's think of happier times. And I always wanted to ask you if you had experienced anything more nerve-wracking in your career or since than when you teed it up at the 2003 Colonial, being the first woman to play in a PGA Tour event since Babes Aharias back in 1945. Was anything that you've done as nerve-wracking as that, as I'm assuming that was just so crazy from a nerves standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think I've ever been that nervous, and who knows if I ever will be that nervous again. I know for a fact, not on a golf course, obviously, but just, you know, to experience what I did, it was, you know, I look back at my career and it's certainly a highlight of my career, probably top three. And, you know, it's just not necessarily just that week and, you know, that tee shot. It was a journey leading up to it, starting in January from the press conference moment where I accepted the invitational to, you know, to teeing off there in May, the 4 months that I had to get ready. I mean, I remember, it's funny, I remember some things and then some things I really don't remember. But I do remember walking down from the practice green down to the first tee with one of the guys I was playing with, Aaron Barber. And he put his arm around me and said, let's do this together. He was a rookie that year, and so was my other playing partner, Dean Wilson. So they, you know, they hadn't experienced anything like this either. So it was kind of the three of us trying to figure out how to do it. And, you know, when they announced my name and it was time to play, I remember looking at my caddy, and he told me later that my lips were moving, but no words came out. So he was probably wondering what in the world is happening here. So, but I remember just, you know, pumping myself up and say, you know, just hit another tee shot, you know, focus on what you got to do, not necessarily where you are and the circumstances. And then I hit it down the fairway and I said, okay, let's just play.
You retired from playing on the LPGA Tour, what, in 2008? And I know you're busier than ever. And you know, your working mother, your brand, it's called Annika. I love it.
Yes.
Your first name. You know, only who else has that? Madonna and, you know, not too many others just are referred to by their first name. So that's that in itself is great. But it includes an apparel line, a golf course design, clinics, your foundation, the Annika Award. What do you think you spend the most time with?
Or thank you. No, I would say that it's seasonal or depends on what time of year. Let's start with course design. I mean, that's, you know, when you have a project, you work intensely with it and then you kind of go to the next phase and, you know, months go by and you don't do much with it. Clothing, you know, we have three big meetings a year when we discuss the collection. And so then it gets a little intense and then with photo shoots and so forth. But in between it, there's not much, you know, when it's in production and starting the distribution. The foundation, I would say, is where I spend most of my time. We now have 7 global tournaments. And what I mean by that is, I mean, it's global. It's in Europe. It's in China. It's in Australia, New Zealand, and Latin America. And then obviously here in the U.S. So I go to all 7 of them and I spend time with the girls. And either I do clinics or we have a welcome dinner or we do, you know, our tagline is more than golf. So we would do something fun. You know, it could be, for example, in Argentina, we had a tango show. In China, we have had different performances on stage, singing contests, and just to kind of, you know, break it up and have some fun because, you know, life is not just about hitting golf shots and making putts. It's about the friendship that they cultivate and, you know, being with other girls and push themselves. This year is our 12th year. So you can imagine we've had thousands of girls, you know, go through our programs. We have over 600 a year that goes through them. We've had over 55 turn professional. And so it's been this whole tournament initiative and trying to inspire the next generation. It's been really fun to be around and see it grow. And you'd be surprised when you go to some of these areas that they don't have girls invitational only. Like in Latin America, we're now in our 5th year, but our first year, this was the only girls invitational. Normally, you know, they start a boys event and then they invite some girls on the side. So this is the only girls event which is amazing to me when you think of 2020.
It sounds so, I can hear the passion in your voice about it. Do you think you're more passionate now as a brand Anika and everything that you're working on than when you were playing? It's a different kind of life, but how many players can say that they've really gone on to establish such a big brand and doing so many things?
No, I do love what I do. I mean, I love playing. I mean, I love being out there, being competitive, and because I'm very competitive, and fulfilling my dreams and, you know, being number one in the world and all the things we talked about. But, you know, when I stepped away, it was time for several reasons. One of them was, you know, I was getting married. I want to start a family. The other one was, you know, I had achieved what I wanted to achieve. And number three was, you know, I have a desire to help others. You know, how can I get other girls to have this opportunity that I'm having? You know, so I knew pretty quickly that we were going to have a foundation with girls golf international and competitions. And then we added all the other things in with the clinic that I do, and the workshops that we do for these girls, whether we have a session talking about fitness or nutrition or maybe the importance of sunblock or whatever. We do different topics every tournament. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many, I don't really see so many other the professionals, you know, taking that step. I know Lorena is very involved in her school and does amazing things in Mexico. But sure. I think, you know, Lorena, I found the niche. Yeah, correct. Sorry. But I found, you know, my niche, and I love doing this. And you know, I build up a great relationship with these young girls. We keep in touch. And you know, I still get calls from some of the players that have turned professional, and they just want to have somebody to brainstorm with. For example, how does it work with caddies out here, and how does it work with sponsors? I mean, you know, these young girls are at a very sensitive age in a way. You know, we have tournaments for girls that are 12 to 18, and in the middle of that is where, you know, a lot of things happen, a lot of developments happen in a young girl's life. You know, a lot of it is other than sports, and you know, they have a lot of responsibilities. People pull them left and right, whether it's school or girlfriends or boyfriends or technology, a lot of distractions. So to be able to keep them on the path, to be able to inspire them to fulfill their dreams. And we're not just talking about being a professional golfer. We're talking about just human beings and having, you know, learning how to set goals to a successful future, whether it's into law or being a doctor or a teacher or just, you know, being a complete human. So it's been very rewarding for me, and I feel like I learn as much as I can, you know, give back. It's really been more that I have received than I've been giving. So I feel very lucky about that.
Sure. Just very important work, Anika. And you work with your husband. Mike McGee is the managing director of Anika, your brand. What's it like working with your husband?
Well, we get along.
Any arguments?
Well, he's very good at saying, yes, dear. So here we go. I think
See,
those are the key
knows.
Words. But no, I mean, I respect him tremendously. He works very hard. And, you know, we both have our, you know, family's interest in mind. So, you know, when I have to go somewhere, he knows why I'm going. And he probably set up the outing. That's why I'm going. So, yeah. But, I think we complement each other very well, you know, his weaknesses, and then I cover it with certain things, and then I have weaknesses, and he covers me. So it's fun. I mean, I he was an agent before, and he worked with tournaments before. So he has, you know, the background. You know, his dad played on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, so he has the competitive background, and he was a great athlete himself. And so, yeah, it's fun. I mean, we have moments where we work, and then we also say, okay, this is not work. But I think the hardest part is we love what we do. So it gets a little mingled sometimes when you sit at the table and you might, you know, throw a little business question. But overall, it's like we know when it's time to do that. And then we spend time with the kids. And I think it's really important for the kids to see that, you know, that both parents work and that it takes hard work and commitment and dedication to achieve things in life. So, you know, they see that we work together. It's teamwork, and you do better that way.
Anika Sorenstam, what an honor to have her on the show, and Gary Player. I mean, two tremendous athletes, two outstanding ambassadors, and you know, I think we can learn so much from Gary Player, 84 years young. The importance of fitness, regular exercise, so, so crucial. Good nutrition, the will to win, the importance of having, you know, a solid work ethic, appreciation for our great country. I mean, Gary, oh gosh, I could talk to both of them for hours. Anyway, my thanks to Gary Player, Annika Sorenstam, and Pete Hoffman in the studio. Talking Golf was brought to you by Travelers Insurance. For auto, home, and business, Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Next week, we'll chat with the always opinionated Brandel Chambly of the Golf Channel. Be sure to check in and say hi to me on social media. Tune in to Rick Wolf up next with Sports Edge. Talk with you next Sunday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. The Fan, WFAN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.